someone once a somewhat wealthy individual came to the Chassam Sofer, and he wanted to have some advice from the Chassam Sofer. It seems that his business had fallen on somewhat hard times, and it was not nearly as profitable as it had been in the past. And he was very concerned about his financial future, and he came to the Chafetz Chaim to the Chassam Sofer for advice, for a bracha. So the Chassam Sofer asked him, is he still supporting the tzedakah organizations and the poor people that he supported in the past? And he turned to the Chassam Sofer and he said, no. So the Chassam Sofer said to him, why? He said, I just told the Rav that, you know, my financial situation has taken a turn for the worse. And I'm not nearly as, things are not nearly as good as they once were. And I'm very concerned about my own financial future. How can I be concerned about other people's finances when I have my own concerns? So the Chassam Sofer said to him, it says at the beginning of Parshas Va'era, Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to Bnei Yisrael, and he says, V'gam ani shamati es na'akas b'nei Yisrael asher Mitzrayim avidim osam v'eskares brisi. Says, and I also heard the cries and the anguish of B'nai Yisrael. Sadech Sam Sofer, what does he mean, I also heard? Who was the first one who heard? And he says, I also heard. Well, Paro was the first one who heard? Who was the first one who heard? Sadech Sam Sofer. B'nai Yisrael was suffering. All of B'nai Yisrael was suffering. Everyone had their own sorrows. But each one of B'nai Yisrael also heard and felt the tzaras of his neighbor. They heard the anguished cries of the other members of B'nai Yisrael. They didn't get so caught up in themselves that they couldn't pay attention to somebody else. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reaction is, when B'nai Yisrael are listening and paying attention and empathizing with the tzaras of other members of B'nai Yisrael, even though they themselves are suffering, then v'gam ani shamati, then I also pay attention, then I also empathize. And then l'chein amor l'B'nai Yisrael, ani Hashem v'otzeisi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim, yitzalti osam yavodosam v'galti eschem b'zor nutriyo v'shvatim gedolim. Then, that's the way that the Gula comes about. If you're going to be so self-centered in your own tzaras, and you can't pay attention to the tzaras of other members of Achinu B'nai Yisrael, you can't expect the Gula. It's only when you pay attention to the others that that brings about the Yeshua that we're so much looking forward to. There's a story that I've read a number of times about Reb Nosson Zvi Finkel Zatzal, the Mir Rosh Yeshiva, who passed away just a short time ago. A number of years ago, a group of prominent American Jewish businessmen, very prominent and, from what I understand, quite wealthy, were visiting Eretz Yisrael. And I understood from the story, even though the story didn't mention it, these people were not necessarily religious or practicing religious, but they had a sense of Jewish identity. And somehow or another, someone got to the group and said, you know, you should go meet Rabbi Finkel. He's the Rosh Yeshiva of the biggest yeshiva in the whole world. So this group of businessmen came, and they went to the Mir Yeshiva, and they went to which of his office, his apartment. Nosson Zvi wasn't in there yet. A couple of minutes later, Nosson Zvi walked in. And they were dumbstruck. Because no one had warned them that Nosson Zvi suffered tremendously from Parkinson's. Nosson Zvi came in and he sat down. And he said to him, I know that you are all very important businessmen, and therefore your time is very precious. So I won't keep you very long. So I just want to ask you one question. We as Jews, as a Jewish nation, all suffered a generation or two ago from the Shoah, from the Holocaust. What's the most important lesson that we need to learn from the Holocaust? So one of them said, we need to announce and let everybody know, never again. And in essence, he said, nah. And all of a sudden, these very prominent businessmen, princes of their field, began shaking in their boots, as one of them described it. The equivalent of trying to hide under the table and hoping that the master teacher won't call on them to answer the question. And he asked the second one, and each one gave an answer, and in essence, he dismissed it. I said, I'll tell you what the important lesson is. When the Jews were brought into the concentration camps, those that weren't sent to the gas chambers were sent to the barracks to go to sleep on bunk beds. There were times six people put to one bunk bed, and they were given one blanket in the freezing cold Polish winter. One blanket for six people. The person who was given the blanket had to make a decision. Was he going to take that blanket and just try to wrap himself in that blanket? Or was he going to take that blanket and push it to cover somebody else, to help cover the others, and give up some of his blanket, because everybody else was just as cold as he was? People who survived pushed that blanket. And therefore, gentlemen, said the Nassim Tzvi, go back to America and push your blankets to help cover other people. That was the meeting. The ability not to get caught up in our own saris. It can apply to staka. But it can apply to other things as well. Here, Baruch Hashem, we have a wonderful group of people living together in the dormitory. And some days we get caught up in our own issues. Get caught up in our own things that take up our time, our kochos, bother us. And we don't realize that there are other people around, very close to us, who maybe need a kind word, and a shoulder to lean on, and a friendly smile. Sometimes we just walk through as if, you know, I have my own issues, I don't have time for anybody else. It's not the way to bring about the Gula. We have to make sure, certainly in times when everything is going well for us, but even in times when we are getting caught up, whatever is occupying our time and our kochos, that we don't become so self-centered, that we make sure to push the blanket that we have and share it with other people. That's the part on the parsha. Now I want to tell you a story. The story is not connected to the Vart. It's not connected to the Parsha. That's a story. You can find a seat. There's a seat here. No one will notice he came in late. I won't tell. Even have a town. Once upon a time. All good stories begin with once upon a time, right? So once upon a time, there was a village. And there were a lot of people Who lived in the village? Well, not a lot of people. It was a village. You know, it's not thousands of people. But quite a few dozen people lived in the village. And the villagers, for the most part, were wonderful, wonderful people. They all lived together in one small village. And they were wonderful, wonderful people, for the most part. But every once in a while, sometimes the most wonderful people didn't realize that they were being a little bit insensitive about some other people. So what was going on? Most of the time, the people ate and slept in the village. But every once in a while, sometimes on weekends, sometimes even in the middle of the week, they would go and they would eat and sleep outside the village. So where would they go? These weren't wealthy villagers. They couldn't go to hotels and eat out and all the time. But there were people who worked in the village. They didn't live in the village. They worked in the village. And they were very nice. And from time to time, they would invite the villagers to come over. Some people lived very nearby the village. Some people lived a little bit further away. And the villagers would come. And again, for the most part, the villagers were very, very nice. And did what, you know, very, very polite. But every once in a while, the villagers would forget themselves. Sometimes they would make plans to come over. And at the last minute, change their plan. Now, we all know that there are sometimes circumstances beyond our control. And sometimes the villagers couldn't help themselves. Something mamish came up at the last minute. And they could. There's nothing to do about it. And they felt terrible about it. But sometimes, some of the villagers had a little bit of a flippant attitude. Like, okay, I made plans to go over, so I'll cancel. What's the big deal? One more person to feed, one less person to feed. What's the big deal? So I said I was coming, so now I say I'm not coming. I decided to go somewhere else. I got delayed, and I just changed my plans. And they don't realize that these people who love to spend time with the villagers, sometimes made arrangements and sometimes did extra work to host these villagers, and you know, just at the last second canceling as if it's a mabekach, a nothing, it's not so very nice. Sometimes the villagers, I don't know, maybe they thought that things were hotel, they would sometimes come for a meal that they were invited for, and then say, oh, by the way, is it okay if I come tomorrow also? Like at the last second, pull a potato out of my pocket, a piece of chicken. And they didn't think it was anything strange about it. Now again, we all know that sometimes the last minute plans fall through and people are desperate. And the people who worked in the village were more than happy to help the villagers. But it's sometimes the attitude was portrayed. And when the villagers came, most of the villagers, the vast majority of the villagers, were always very helpful. And they knew they weren't staying in a hotel. They knew where they stayed. There was no maid service. And they were happy to help serve and happy to help clean up. And were very gracious in offering all sorts of work and help that they could provide. But every once in a while, not too often, but every once in a while, some of the villagers got very caught up in themselves. Yes, if they were asked to serve, they would, you know, serve. Or they figured, like, we offered once, so we don't have to keep offering. Right? And, you know, maybe, you know, when the day was over, they would rush out because they wanted to just go somewhere, not realizing there's a lot to clean up after everything is all over. Again, most of them were very, very good. But every once in a while, and sometimes, most of the time, they sat around the table, they asked, and they were curious, and they were part of the conversation, but every once in a while, you know, some of the visiting villagers just spoke amongst themselves as if no one else existed around the table. So, the people who worked in the village were wondering, what can we do to help the villagers? Because again, the villagers were really very, very fine people. But every once in a while, even very, very fine people could use a little more chizuk, to pay a little bit more attention, and be a little bit more sensitive to some of the their actions and their deeds. So it was decided that would be a good idea is they would ask one of the people who worked in the village, who liked to tell stories, and who personally wasn't at all adversely affected, didn't suffer at all from any of these slight failings of the villagers, they would tell him, why don't you gather all the villagers one day together and tell them a story? And maybe that way the villagers would understand. And that is what he did. The end.